Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, after all that, it's time for the Friday Gathering. And this week, I'm joined in the studio by Fine Gael TD for Dublin Bay North, Nisha O'Murray, Sinn Féin TD for Cavan Monaghan, Cathy Bennett, political correspondent with the Sunday Times, Claire Scott, and Olivia Kelly, who's the Dublin editor with the Irish Times. And you're all very welcome. Thanks for being with us. We're going to start with the cost of living, actually. We had the Public Expenditure Minister, Jack Chambers, with us in the studio this week, yesterday, in fact. And Cathy, he insisted that the government has a progressive focus now on what's happening with the cost of living, and there won't be one-off temporary measures.
Yeah,
he reckons that's the responsible path right now to target supports in the next budget. What do you think?
I think it's very disappointing for Jack to say that. He mustn't realise what's going on out there in the real world. There's people sitting with less than they haven't got enough savings for the next 3 months if anything goes wrong. They're saying that 1 in 5 can't replace a piece of broken furniture. 1 in 8 lone parents can't afford to put a roast beef dinner on the table. So I'm saying the government are not listening. They need to start listening to the people. There is a cost of living crisis out there at the moment. And when we look at what is happening in the real world, Claire, banks are profiteering, insurance is going up, the banks haven't give people back the mortgage, you know, lowered people's mortgage rate. So I believe there's a lot going on, and there's a lot that the government are not listening to the people. They need to listen up and listen clearly and help support people.
Some banks have, and there are different mortgage products out there with different rates that have come down at different levels. But when it comes to universal supports, I mean, do you think that everybody should be getting an energy credit? Is that a wise way to do it?
I definitely believe so. They haven't got the infrastructure there to, the government are saying that they're going to put in measures in place, you know, where we will have more wind energy, etc. But that hasn't happened yet. And until that happens, people need to have some credits put on their electricity bills to help them.
Even people who don't need it?
Well, I believe everybody should. You know, at the moment, the electricity is extortionate, the amount of the prices that people have to pay. And on top of that, Claire, carbon taxes are going up as well in the last few weeks as well. People are basically going to be penniless in this country if the government don't step up and help.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear from Nisha on that now, because, yeah. I mean, we have heard this line now from the Taoiseach, from the Taoiseach, from Minister Pascal Donoghue, from Jack Chambers only yesterday, that there will be no cost of living supports. And in the context of the inflation that's happening in relation to grocery products, butter going up by 26%, for example, that's a tough message to sell. I mean, the only thing that's really changed is the fact that we've no election coming up.
Yeah, so if you get behind the inflation data, Claire, all right, if you actually look at the actual facts, so price of this year versus last year, a loaf of white bread, slice pan is the same as last year. Brown slice pan has gone up. It's gone up 2 cents. Potatoes have gone down. Spaghetti has gone down. Milk has gone up. So there is a variation in terms of pricing happening. And interestingly enough,
pound of butter is around 5
now. Yeah, butter's gone up as well. But it's running at around 2% net, which is a much better place to be in than when we were during the energy crisis. And by the way, the biggest one going up is actually package holidays. So that tells you a bit about, you know, what the demand is like for package holidays.
So you just
out there
don't accept that people are suffering because of rising
that.
Prices.
That's not what I said. I'm just trying to give you an actual picture of the data. I know things can be difficult. You mentioned mortgage rates, by the way. Mortgage rates have come down. And as mortgages fix rates, they will help as well. And the government has to be prudential. I mean, we have a very uncertain economic environment out there. The universal supports that were done previously, as you mentioned, they weren't targeted. They were a general support that went to everybody. We really, if we're going to do targeted measures, if we're going to do measures, they have to be targeted. Mm-hmm. That's really important. We can't be just, you know, there's in this environment with inflation down, it's not right, given the uncertainty around tariffs and the trading environment, that we would just give out, you know, generalised support.
Okay, Claire, what's your view of this from a political point of view? Do you think the pressure on the government now is gaining momentum?
Very much so. But it's interesting that we've already seen Pascal Donoghue and Jack Chambers already kind of send the message out to various ministers and various departments that there's going to be fiscal discipline coming up now in relation to the budget. Usually this only starts kind of the July, August time. But given all the uncertainty that we have been seeing in relation to tariffs, you know, a lot of ministers are trying to put their best foot forward and trying to get in early with their budget demands. They're definitely getting the back of the hand slapped down. This isn't going to happen. You know, we've even seen, I suppose, this we've seen projections coming in from the Department of Finance, but they're still only looking at kind of the 10% tariff mark. And they're consistently telling, you know, government and telling the public that, look, we still don't know where we're going to end up once this 90 day tariff pause is lifted. So, look, I think it's very clear the cost of living package that we saw last year isn't going to happen. It's going to be targeted measures. I don't think there's going to be any movement in relation to that.
But could we come to a certain point if things change and inflation starts to go up across the board that the government has no choice but to revert back to that position where they're handing out universal payments?
Well, I think even you put it to Jack Chambers yesterday, kind of made this argument to him. Every minister that I've been talking to have been like, you're very reluctant to talk about any sort of movement in relation to social protection, in relation to increases there. They continuously say that this isn't going to happen. I think that, you know, this idea that even though, you know, we may not see the tariffs that, you know, that we fear once the 90-day pause is up, there's a massive change in how Ireland is going to be functioning in the years to come. And I think that the idea that they were going to see a massive pre-election budget that we saw isn't going to happen again. I think that they want to get back to this idea of pre-COVID budgets, especially when there isn't an election coming up. That's what we're going to see.
And Olivia, what's your take on it? Because a lot can change in 6 months and, you know, we'll be heading into colder temperatures, utility bills rising. Do you think the government can hold the line?
I sort of think they have to, because if you keep on adopting one-off measures, they of course stop being one-off measures and they start becoming something that's just part of everyone's household budget. And I just don't think that's sustainable. And particularly, I know Cathy says everyone needs it. It's not true that everyone needs it. But if you're, who are you targeting then? If are you just targeting the unwaged? Are you just targeting the people who are in receipt of social welfare benefits? Because there clearly are more people than just that cohort who do need help. But how do you gauge it then? Like, who do you include in the pot of people who would get benefits and who wouldn't? But I just don't think we have the capacity to continue on with universal one-off measures. And as I say, they stop being one-off measures. People, however long you continue them, people start expecting them every year then.
You want to come back in there?
Yeah. So, Claire, I think, you know, Olivia, just in relation to that, you know, I do think we need to support right across the board. The government mightn't give the one-off target measure, but they can implement other measures such as banning rent increases. That's not going to affect them, but they can put legislation forward that will happen that. They can put legislation in place that will prevent insurance companies putting up the price of people's insurance. You know, there's lots of different areas that can be targeted.
That is different to a cost of living payment.
Yeah, then. But the cost of living, it is affecting people. And Nisha, I have to say, very disappointed for you to say that in relation to food costs. I know myself, my grocery bill has went up to double of what it used to be. People are struggling. Maybe the people in this room aren't struggling, but I can tell you the general public are struggling out there. I am getting it every day. The people are struggling. They can't afford their bills, can't afford their oil, can't afford insurance on their cars. It's just, it's non-stop rent, mortgages. They're not, the banks aren't giving the mortgage incentive, giving the rate, lowering the rate for the people.
Yeah,
there's
Claire,
so much
Claire,
going on out there.
There?
Yeah,
like, I mean,
it's not actually,
aware.
It's not happening.
I'm
it's
very aware of where people are at. I mean, I might talk and meet to people on the north side every day and I know where people are at in terms of cost of living and their challenges, no doubt about it. But the CSO figures are there. The CSO don't make that data up. That's the reality. They measure that. They measure the information year on year. I do think an area that I'm now chair of the Climate Committee and Energy is under that remit. An area where we need to do better is energy costs. I mean, there is a proposal for an energy task force in terms of energy cost affordability. the government, we will take a close look at that and scrutinise that, because I think that is one area where we need to do better as an island on the edge of Europe.
What do you mean by that? Putting pressure on the providers to bring down the prices?
Well, just to see what's holding up. Energy costs went up a lot during COVID, and more so during the crisis in Ukraine. They've come down a bit, but they haven't come down as much as I would like to see them. People have seen them coming down in their bills. The CRU has a role to play in terms of that pricing. There must be, I think there are other issues in energy that we need to look at and find and do work to bring down those costs.
Kathy?
But the idea that we're all, people have no idea of what's going on, right? I don't accept that at all. Everybody is very aware of what people are feeling.
Kathy?
Well, if the government was aware of it, Nisha, they would be implementing some measures to help people. But the other item I want to bring up is in relation to childcare costs. That was in the manifesto from Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil that we were going to reduce childcare costs at €10 a day. That hasn't happened. The amount of people that I find are struggling with childcare costs is the same price to them as a mortgage costs. So I don't know if you're aware of that as well, but that's something that was promised in the government manifestos and it still hasn't happened. Okay. And this government, Nisha, I want to say as well, they have been in power for 10 years. It's not like these things just happened overnight. You have been, supply and demand for over 10 years. So you have to face reality.
Yeah, and the government has reacted and dealt with
its
various different shapes and forms. The COVID crisis, the government has dealt with many, many challenges, not everyone perfectly. The COVID challenge, the energy crisis in Ukraine, lots of challenges down through the years. And the government has to live within the means of the country and be prudent. It's very easy to throw money at everything. It's very easy to do that. But the government has to be aware that the trading environment is uncertain. The governor of the Irish Central Bank said only this week, I think he said, uncertainty is the new certainty. There's no clarity is what's going to happen with tariffs. So government has to be prudent and to try and target whatever the government does at who needs it most, and then to keep a very careful watching brief on what's happening.
But now, Nisha, you'll be the Grinch at Christmas if people don't get the double child benefit that, everybody had built in at this stage to pay their bills. As Olivia said, you repeat these things a couple of times and they become part of your expectation.
Yeah, and people, the punters aren't foolish. The punters are smart. They understand the reality of, the government finances and what's available. They understand that. And, it's easy to say we'll be the Grinch at Christmas. But I think people want prudence. People want certainty around the public finances and some level of investment in the future. It's very easy to say spend the surplus, but if we're hit with tariffs and trade and our corporation tax start to take hits, we'll be in a totally different place, and the debate that we'll be having here will be a totally different and a much more difficult debate. It's very easy to say throw money at everything, but we have to target and we have to be prudent.
Do people want prudent politicians, Livy, or do they want the double child benefit at Christmas?
I think people want the double child benefit at Christmas, don't they? And we're in a different situation at the moment where everything is sunny, people aren't worrying about heating and all that sort of thing. But a bit of cold weather sharpens minds and empties wallets as well, of course.
Let's move on then and talk about infrastructure, because it has been a theme of the week. And again, we were talking to Jack Chambers about this yesterday. He was talking about his new infrastructure task force. Claire, you might start us off on this one. Why is it that we need another task force to tell us what to do? Like, do we not have our senior officials and our ministers to do that job already?
Yeah, well, I think the word that we keep hearing over the last while is people working in silos and people not being able to deliver in all of these various bodies like Ishcair and like AirGrid. I think we had Sean Sweeney of Metrolink out earlier in the week talking about how things in Ireland are just slower. Mm-hmm. And I think he was particularly shocked by that. I think there's an element of the government wanting to be seen to be doing something about this. So we have this now infrastructure task force. We also have the Housing Activation Office, which we still need to hear a bit more about. So I think it's this idea that, look, this government wants to be seen to be acknowledging that there are issues in terms of developing infrastructure in Ireland. This is their answer to it. But again, so we're going to have a report from this infrastructure task force in July sometime. But, what kind of targets are they going to be beholden to? Is it just going to be the general housing targets? You know, how do we have proof eventually that this is a task force that is actually doing what it set out to do? I think, you know, government ministers would say, well, look, if we get things built, then that's evidence of that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we have these people being taken out, seconded from various parts to lead the way. This is going to be a game changer, according to the Taoiseach, but we'll only see it, I suppose, in 5 years' time, if we have 300,000 houses delivered and other projects sort of up and mm-hmm. running. But there's big question marks, I think, over all of this.
You probably see a lot of this, Olivia, where it's borne out in terms of blockages when it comes to infrastructure in your job, which focuses on Dublin. Do you think that this might make a difference?
No, I think a task force is just another way of trying to be seen like you're trying to address a problem. I really, you know, I've seen many task forces over the years, and I haven't seen any that have been particularly effective or have solved any other problem. They usually just dissolve out into nothing, and people go, "Oh, do you remember that thing? And what did that do?" You know,
there was something like this in 2018 as well, wasn't there?
We've had numerous ones, and of course, yeah. We had the Taoiseach's task force on Dublin that, you know, that reported last October. I've yet to see anything out of that, any sort of, you know, concrete measures. I don't see them as effective. I do see them as a way of just optics, really. Everyone knows in these different organisations what needs to be done. You know, it's, you know, are they having, is another round of meetings going to solve that, or another group going to solve that?
You're doubtful.
I'm more than doubtful.
Right. So is there anything to be said, Nisha, for another task force? I mean, why are we doing this?
I think, it's been characterised here as optics. This is not about being seen. There's a serious issue here in terms of infrastructure. We all know that. And what's happening here is that a new unit has been set up within Deeper. So Deeper control the money and run the money. So this unit will be looking at and overseeing that capital spend. And then there's a subcommittee on infrastructure going in a cabinet. So it's a reflection by government, or it's a stand by government that says infrastructure is really important. I think Claire is right. Is how do you measure the output? I mean, that's a very good question. It shouldn't just be about housing infrastructure or housing targets. That's, you know, you need to break it down a lot more. You need to look at Uisge Éireann and see how, you know, Uisge Éireann's projects, the two big projects in the Dublin region, the drainage and the water supply, when are they going to get built?
When will they be finished? It's just one second. Government didn't know, you know, and doesn't know until a task force tells them this.
The government, I mean, we've all been through a general election. OK, these issues around infrastructure were very clear on the ground. And all the international research says that we are behind on infrastructure. Now, you can say, listen, do nothing about it. Sure, we're so far behind, we'll never catch up.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you don't need a task force to tell you this. Everyone knows what these problems are. What's the task force going to do?
The task force is going to pull all these groups together. Right. OK, ESB, Bord Gáis Energy, the NTA, I believe, should be involved. I'm not sure if they are, because you mentioned Metrolink. These are all key infrastructure projects. They're big, and this department can pull them together.
Just looking at what Olivia is saying, that we already know the problems. Like, you had the head of Uisge Éireann, Niall Gleeson, saying that for him, environmental objectors are costing the taxpayer billions and resulting in long delays.
Yeah.
So deal with that, rather than set up a task force so that he can say it again.
That's a legitimate issue to look at, but that's only one part of it. Mm-hmm. JRs are certainly part of issues in the planning process to do with JR. They shouldn't be in the planning process at all, in my view. But I'll give you an example, Clontarf. So there's an outfall being built in Clontarf at the moment to do with some flood defence. The city council, and my colleague councillor Claude Anywhere raises, the city council has a 3 month window to build that only because of environmental considerations around the Brent Geese. City council had to certify the departure of the Brent Geese for this work, and we have, you know, residents who were flooded and suffered severe, you know, discomfort and, you know, a lot of pain and suffering, and we're tied up in these sorts of regulations. I think we do need to look at some of the European regulations that are coming down and look at if they're appropriate for us. But this body can pull all these people together, because, you know, some of these bodies do hide behind, well, look, it's not our problem. You know, Uisge Éireann are saying we want to focus on the big centres, and, you know, the country will maybe look after itself. That's not going to work.
Well, Uisge Éireann are saying we can do the work, but we need the money.
Yeah, absolutely. And Uisge Éireann's budget, his capital budget, has gone up from about 300 million to 1.4 billion this year. So it's not a question of resources. It's not a question of resources. It's a question of, like, they have...
Olivia, why are you reacting like that in your chair?
It very much is a question of resources.
Money, capital.
Well yes. that's what Irish Water, Uisce Éireann, and that's what they will say. And what they've been saying for years, they've been warning for years that this is coming down the line because they were set up on the basis of water charges.
So how do you...
So the capital is not sufficient. You can say it's increased, but it's not sufficient. Yeah. And it's not sufficient for the growing population. And it's not sufficient for the projections that have been put there in terms of the amount of homes we need.
So Irish Water have gone from 300 million to 1.4 billion in a space of a number of years. So my point to you is that...
And they're running to catch up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And all the infrastructure studies internationally say that. Yeah. Not just water, the electricity grid, we're 25% behind.
Yeah.
Everybody. You know, I don't disagree
and
with you.
And we're one of are we the only country in Europe now that doesn't have domestic water charges?
But the point I'm making, though, is that you can't really say that the resources are not being allocated at the moment. OK, the resources are there. The resources are there. But this group's job is to pull it together and get on with it.
I still say it's clearly insufficient. Hmm. Like Irish Water have been saying for years, it's insufficient. It's insufficient because of
Cathy wants to give it out on energy credits. Let's not invest for the future. Let's just give it out on universal energy credits.
I didn't say I said to invest for the future.
So you want to do both. So where will all your money come from?
Well, look at all the money the people, the taxpayers are paying. You have, 18 million, 14 million in surplus next year.
Yeah,
Uisce Water, Uisce Éireann, I just want to tell you about them in relation to land zoning. I think, you know, this government haven't planned for the future. They have no intention of planning for the future. As I said before, 10 years in government, Nisha, in supply and demand. You have been there together, if you like it or lump it. But I have to say, in relation to Irish Water, I know estates that want... We want to get estates built in Monaghan. We want to get houses built in Monaghan. And you know what's happening? Uisce Water, Irish Water are writing to Monaghan and telling them we can't build the houses, we don't have the money, we're not going to be able to build these houses. So yous have no plan going forward. And I have to say, Nisha, very, very disappointing. I know yous have had, you know, a lot of trouble in Paradise over the last few weeks and that in the government, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and so-called independence. But I have to say, yous need to invest in water, in electricity and in the planning system.
Well,
Already the people are being overtaxed.
So you know,
I'm going to tell you how you're going to build more houses. It's already people are being taxed out the hilt already.
So we're 25% behind in infrastructure. We're probably talking minimum 25 to 30 billion. How are we going to pay?
Maybe you don't know, Nisha, I'm just looking here at the moment. You know how we already fund Irish Water is at the moment we're all extra capital come through 2.5.
That's public money. Yeah. ESB gets to raise money on the debt markets. How are you proposing to raise 25 to 30 million of capital in the next 10 years? Billion of capital in the next 10 years and also hand out all the energy credits. Where are we going?
Yeah. Well, Nisha, for a start, you said there a minute ago you're on the environmental committee there. So I'm hoping that you will be able to deliver on the electric anyway, that you'll bring down electric costs for people in this country, because that hasn't happened to date. We need to change that. But the other thing, Nisha, I did want to bring up with you is in relation to you're saying that the reason why we're not building in this house is because of planning permissions. And you are the legislators. The government of the day is the legislators. Yeah. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. So why is that not happening?
So the Housing and Development Act.
You're not putting a plan.
The Housing and Development Act, which Sinn Féin opposed, by the way, came through. After a huge piece of work in the last saw, Sinn Féin opposed it. That's an effort to help streamline the planning process. 10-year development plans for local authorities, not 6 years. A smaller role for the judicial part of in planning. But look, you know, you can't have it every way, Cathy. You know, we either have to try.
Well,
you
have it every way, Nisha, because you're back in government and you have been there for the past 10 years. So now we're saying to you, do you really need to have these additional more bureaucracy within, more paperwork, more red tape? Yeah, and that's what you're doing in relation to these new departments. Jack Chambers, an infrastructure unit within his department, he's creating two new departments in there. James Brown's creating three departments.
Well, they're task force.
Yeah, task force, yeah. But the Housing Commission didn't recommend this. They recommended setting up something completely different, an oversight executive that would be across all the bodies. That hasn't happened. Why have you, after spending 2 years on consultation, the Housing Commission created this report and you're not putting it to good use?
So the 25 billion, Cathy, you're going to tell me where that's going to come from.
This is the Irish water money, is it?
No, all the capital. Everything
that's needed. Just going back to Uisce Éireann and what they need to do and where the money's going to come from. I mean, we're 11 years on, aren't we, from the big water charges debacle.
Mm-hmm.
Should we have water charges in this country now to deal with this problem? Because I remember those arguments very clearly, and we were told in 10 years' time, you'll reap what you sow if you don't put these water charges in place. Yeah.
So,
and here we are.
So I don't believe we should. All right. I think the I think that ship has sailed.
Mm-hmm.
I think the you can only get so far with the water network in terms of leakage and reduction. OK, so we're losing water through the water network at about 33%. Investment in that will only get you so far. The levels of investment that Uisce Éireann are looking for, they are some very large capital projects like the Dublin Drainage Project. Will please God get through the process, get a decision fairly soon, and will have to be built. I think the model is the ESB model, whereby the ESB is raising money, can raise money separately from government, and it's, you know, they fund and they manage that, and they're quite good at it.
Now, the metro is another thing that I want to talk about. And Claire, you touched on this, that interview that Sean Sweeney did. He's the boss of the new metro. It was with the Business Post, and it was extraordinary, really, some of the things he was saying. So the estimate is 10 billion, but he said it could go 20%, even 40% above that figure. He also talked about political will, and he said it's very different. It looks very different to him compared to his experiences in New Zealand and Australia, where the Prime Minister would say, we're doing this, and all of the doors would suddenly open and something would happen. He doesn't feel that that's the case here with Metro, does he?
No, it was a really interesting interview because he was saying the quiet bits out loud. I think we often hear all of these things off the record behind the scenes. Like, I mean, even talking with Fianna Fáil backbenchers, they have been very strong on this idea that they were talking about investment in water 10, 12 years ago. Leadership are only waking up to it now. And, you know, we saw, you know, Sean's interview, this idea of political bravery when it comes to infrastructure and these really unpopular projects getting over the line. And, you know, people only like them when they're finished, particularly with Metro. I mean, it's going to be an incredibly difficult project to build, get over the line in terms of cost and also disruption to people. I think it's going to be 20 kilometres long. There's going to be so many houses and individuals affected by that. We see protests in relation to rail developments across Europe. So I think the government needs to prepare for that. I don't think there is a willingness to prepare for that. I think they would sooner push it off again. How long have we been getting ready for this thing?
I don't think I agree that it's an unpopular project or will be an unpopular project.
There's really not
that many. But the biggest issue with it is probably that there's another state body, the OPW, objecting in relation to St. Stephen's Green. There are some small number of, now people probably jump down my neck at this, there's demolitions of apartments in the city centre. In terms of other homes that are affected, it's largely disruption while construction is going on. And that'll be phased. It's not really, in terms of its construction, it's a big project. It's largely underground, so it's not as maybe disruptive as a Lewis might have been, because that's largely overground. I think it's, you know, I think there's largely, there's definitely political will behind having a metro for Dublin. I think there's largely goodwill. I think people want a metro for Dublin. But I think the problem is, I think people have wanted a metro for Dublin for 20, 25 years and more. And when we could have built it back 15 years ago, the last time it got planning permission at 3.5 billion, we didn't. And now we're looking at an awful lot more. But just to talk about the money as well, Sean Sweeney knows an awful lot more about how much these things cost than any of us here. But nobody actually knows yet how much this is going to cost. The 9.5 billion was given when the business case was put in by Transport Infrastructure Ireland there back in 2022 as the credible midpoint. But it was always a credible midpoint between just over 7 and just over 12. And then there were sort of the outlying figures at much higher than that and much lower than that. That's just how you have to do your business cases for these sorts of things. So it was always a possibility that it would be 20% or as much as 40% over that 9.5 billion. And that would still have it within that midpoint, that up to 12.5 million. It could, of course, be a bit more. We won't know until it gets planning permission, which is there'd be some sort of planning decision, you'd imagine, in the next few months. And then after that, TII has to go and actually see what the tenders for the project would be. Then they come back to government again. And then at that point, government says, we either have the money for this or we don't.
Right. But one of the other interesting things he said was that we're going to need international construction companies to come on board with this because we don't have the resources here. And they might not be interested because we've cancelled it already. Mm. So they mightn't be convinced that we're going to go ahead with it. That's a political problem, Nisha,
isn't
it? That's
a reasonable. I mean, I think that's an interesting observation. Like, I mean, and as Olivia said, we didn't go with this before. We had it was on the blocks years ago, and for whatever reason, we didn't go for it. It's a big political call. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be a capital figure, I think, north of 10 billion. Really important project. Government has to make that decision. I support it. It's not just about the airport. It's about a whole range of new housing communities opening up all the way through Swords and beyond, and opportunities for new schools, new communities along the line.
But you have to be all in with this. I suppose
you have to be all
point.
In with it. Absolutely.
But his point is also that we're not right now. That's his sense of it.
Well, I think as Olivia says, it won't be the planning decision. The planning decision will come. The tendering process will reveal the final cost. I think we are probably in last chance saloon territory here for 20 years. Because
right. Listen, I have to interrupt you there because I have a last break to take, which I forgot about. So we'll do that now.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.